It is a privilege to be with you all again this morning to bring the Word of God to your hearts and ears. This morning we are going to speak on a very touchy subject. As you probably can see behind me, we'll speak on something that is very small but destructive. And as you could probably see on the screen, you can probably guess that it is the tongue. And this morning, we will speak a little bit about the tongue, and I in no way am an expert on this subject. I am in no way an expert because I do fail, and as we'll see in the scriptures, this morning, we all do fail in the subject of our tongue. Before we get into the sermon, I was doing a little bit of studying on the tongue, and I was hoping that Courtney wouldn't be here because she's a doctor and she will probably correct me if I'm wrong. I was doing a little bit of study on the tongue, and I found out some interesting facts about the human tongue. For example, the average human tongue of a grown male is 3.3 inches in length. And a grown woman's tongue has an average length of 5.1 inches. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. it is 3.1, just a tad bit smaller than a man's tongue. The tongue has anywhere from 2,000 to 10,000 taste buds on it. And I thought that is pretty amazing. And the interesting thing about these taste buds, of course, I don't know what COVID has done to these taste buds. But the interesting thing is about every 2 weeks, we get new taste buds. They get replaced about every 2 weeks. And I thought that was really interesting. But the older we get, those taste buds no longer get replaced. And so that's why younger people can somewhat taste things a little bit better than older people. And so as you get older and your parents tell you that your cooking has improved, just remember they have less taste buds. Cody, stop shaking your head. There's five basic tastes that our taste buds can detect. And that would be sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami. And we'll talk a little bit about umami a little bit later on. How many of you have heard of umami? Yeah, you just grew up with the four. Well, there's five, okay? There's five. The tongue is not an organ. It is all muscle. And some people would say that it is the strongest muscle in the body. That is incorrect. But the tongue is composed of eight muscles intertwined, and so it's a very flexible muscle, kind of like the trunk of an elephant. The tongue has amazing stamina. As a matter of fact, we constantly use our tongue for eating, talking, and swallowing. And from what I've read, and I have a young daughter to prove this, the tongue just never seems to get tired. The tongue keeps us alive. The back of our tongue is sensitive to bitter taste, and so we can spit out poisonous or spoiled food before we swallow them. That's pretty interesting. Now, this one I thought was a little scary, and so I'm going to start using it as a measuring tape for myself. Your tongue can get fat. As you gain weight, so can your tongue, believe it or not. I thought that was pretty interesting. Don't tell me it's not true, Courtney, okay? Every person's tongue is unique. Now, I thought this was pretty interesting. It is like our fingerprints. And so unique in the fact that they are looking into technology to use the tongue as an identification tool. That's pretty interesting. And so those are just some tidbits that I was learning about the tongue, the physical aspects of the tongue. But we'll see this morning what the scriptures have to say about the spiritual side of the tongue and actually how very similar it is to the physical. So if you would, take your Bibles and open them to the book of James, chapter 3. I keep looking for the clock, and so I will try to be short, and I will try not to go over time, and if I do, it is pastor's fault for letting me preach. Okay, I'll just blame it on him. James chapter 3, we begin in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 12. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is the set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield sweet water and fresh? This morning we get into this very touchy subject of the tongue. We look at verse 1 and we see that James is writing to believers. He is not just writing to a general audience. I always like to examine when I'm studying the scriptures, when I'm preparing my sermons, who is this being written to? And he says, my brethren. So here he's identifying with the children of God, those who have been saved by God's grace. This is not just a general announcement. He wants us to know that this is specifically for us. He says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You see, today there are many that want to be teachers. Everyone wants to teach something. Everyone has opinions about something. Somehow, everybody in church knows better than the other. Our brethren, for some reason, like to think that we all know better than each other. And so what do we have? We have problems. But here, James is giving us a very wise instruction. He says, when he uses this word masters, I wanted to make sure what it meant. It's referring to teachers. That there not be many teachers. Now, it is good that we have teachers that teach the Word of God, but he tells us why there shouldn't be too many teachers. He says, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And so I got into the Greek, and I wanted to see what does this mean by greater condemnation. And the Word of God is telling us that we are to be judged for what we teach. Now, we like to believe that we are judged for what we believe, for what we listen to. And sometimes we can say, well, I just said this, but it's their problem because they believed it. Well, the Word of God says that we are to be judged for what comes out of our mouths. Now, for us, that is a difficult thing to swallow, isn't it? No pun intended. That is difficult for us because sometimes the things that we teach with our mouth are not things that are scriptural or God-honoring. Would we say that's true? So many times we suffer from allowing things to come out of our mouth that should not come out of our mouths. One of the things that I realized as I became a father just over 9 years ago was whatever I say, my daughter will absorb. Whatever comes out of my mouth, my children will absorb. Not only that, but at the age of 16, the Lord called me to preach. And I began to preach God's word. You see, there's a problem. Because now that the Lord had called me, and I was to preach and teach his word, every word that would come out of my mouth to teach others would be judged severely. Sometimes we truly don't think about what we say, do we? Sometimes the brain seems to work slower than the mouth, doesn't it? We have that problem. And I tend to find that we suffer that problem more so with the people that we love. Why do we have church problems? Because we allow our mouth to go before our brain and our heart. Why do we have so many family problems? For the same reason. The scripture tells us that we're not supposed to provoke our children to anger, yet many times we do because we allow our mouth to act without thinking. And so here we see that there is a great judgment for those that teach. And so the wise instruction is that there not be many teachers. When we get to verse 2, and the word of God says, "For in many things we offend all." Now, I was thinking about this as a teacher. James is recognizing that we are sinners, and as a result, we offend others, don't we? Have you ever offended somebody not purposely trying to offend them? I'm sure it has happened to all of us. Even if we do not have the intent to offend, we do offend. That is our sin nature. And James, he identifies with this sin nature. Once again, he's saying, we brethren, we followers of Christ, we have the sin nature, and it is our nature to offend. But he goes on and says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and is able also to bridle the whole body. I like this because whenever the word of God uses this word perfect, it pushes me to study and to see what is the word of God exactly saying here. Does that mean without flaw? Does that mean without sin? When we look at this word perfect, it refers to a word that would be used to explain maturity. A mature man does not offend in word. He is careful of how he speaks. Almost 18 years ago, my wife made the biggest mistake of her life. She said, "I do." Don't ask her if that's true. But our first year of marriage was probably the absolute worst year of our marriage. And I know some of you can relate to that, trying to adjust and taking into consideration someone else living with you and breathing next to you and eating with you. And I had come from a very hot-tempered family. I mean, we're Italian, you know, that's what we do. We get mad. So many times in our first year of marriage, I would get upset and I would raise my voice, and my wife would sit there silently and say nothing. And I would provoke her to respond because that would feed me a little bit more. But many times she would say nothing, and that would get me even more angry. Now she talks too much. No, but we see that a mature man thinks before he speaks. He does not offend in his words. My wife was proving the fact that women mature faster than men, at least to me. And so often, that's what happens to us in our workplace with our family members, especially with the ones that we love, in our churches, is we do not mature. We do not mature in God's word and in our actions, and words come out of our mouth that should never have come out of our mouth. And one of the things that I guess I am blessed to do somewhat is to participate this next 2 months in two weddings. In Spanish, we call it a matricidio, which is we blend two words of matrimony and suicide. we talk about marriage and the maturity of a man and being able to speak and thinking about before he speaks. And I always advise these couples before they get married. I try to do counseling before they get married. And one of the things that I always advise is to erase the word divorce from their vocabulary. Now, I don't know if they truly do erase that word from their mind and from their heart, but that is my counsel to them, to take that word away from their options, to take that word completely out of their mind, to understand that that is not the exit door. There is only one exit door, and that is till death do them part, and that does not mean kill your husband, okay? We look at that and the maturity of deciding to remove certain words from our mouths. When the Lord had saved us, we ought to have changed our conversation. The Word of God says that we are made new creatures. Now, many would argue that this is a long process of becoming a new creature. I believe that it is instantaneous. When the Lord saves us, we are a new creature. We were dead, and now we are living. We are a new creature. And so when we receive the Lord as our Savior, our conversation should change. A wise man, a mature man, he does not offend, and then the Word of God says, is able also to bridle the whole body. A person that cannot control their mouth cannot control their actions. That's what the Word of God says. And so many times we'll say, well, I said that, but I didn't really mean that. Or I just can't control what comes out of my mouth. And unfortunately, when we say that, that means we cannot control ourselves. We do not have self-control. We do not lead ourselves into proper action. And that is scary. But we get to verse 3, and I'm going to read verse 3 through 5. Behold, we put in bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And many of you would know about horses. You live in horse country. I know that horses, I love coming outside every morning. I get to exercise out here. I run laps around the church building or walk, and I get to see the horses that are out in the field. And it is amazing that the Word of God tells us, hey, we put this tiny little bit in their mouth, and with this bit, we can control the whole body. Just this very small thing controls the actions of the horse. In verse 4, he talks about the ships, which they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor hath listeth. And if you've ever been on a boat, it is interesting, regardless of the type of boat, just the very small device that is used to churn such a great piece of machinery. And then the tongue is compared to that. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member. Yes, 3.3 inches or 3.1 inches. And boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, we read the news, we watch the news, and we see what takes place in California, out west, the forest fires, right? And many times when they can pinpoint what started that fire, what was it? Many times it was something as small as a cigarette bud that started the enormous fire. Here the Word of God tells us that the tongue is like that fire. It is that little thing, just like the bit that is placed in the horse's mouth, just like the helm that is in the boat. The tongue is a powerful tool. Too many times we do not place the importance that we should on the tongue. Too many times we think that they are just words. You know, I did grow up with that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And that was taught to us so that we would be tough. And we wouldn't allow insults to bother us. But regardless of the saying, and regardless of how tough we want to act, words do hurt. And so we see here in the Word of God that the tongue is powerful. It leads to destruction. We go on to verse 6, it says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Think about this, the tongue is a fire, it is a world of iniquity. There is a lot of evil that comes off of this very small compilation of muscles, isn't there? Have you ever said something that you wish you could just take back? How many times have we opened our mouth and said, I should not have done that. I should not have said that. Trust me, if you are married, Toby, you will soon know what it is like to say regrettable things to your spouse that cannot be erased, that cannot be taken away. The Word of God says the tongue among our members, it defileth the whole body. The tongue affects how we live. Yes, it can even affect our physical well-being. It says, and setteth on fire the course of nature. It corrupts even the world. And I love this last part. It says, and is set on fire of hell. That made me remember what the book of John says about lying and who the father of lying is. It is the devil. You remember that? And so what is the devil's purpose on setting that tongue on fire? It is to bring destruction. Destruction to our relationships, destruction to our world. Today in the country of Peru, they are electing a new president. And throughout the week, I began to listen to some of the candidates and how they would try to destroy the other candidates with their mouths. We just went through elections last year, and we listened how the candidates would put each other down and how they would try to destroy each other. Today I'm praying for the country of Peru because it is in turmoil, but the turmoil does not seem much different than it is here in the United States. We have allowed our tongues to destroy the people. We've allowed our tongues to cause division. We've allowed our tongues to cause division within our families. Today there are more broken families than ever before. Today, there are less churches in existence than ever before. There are less preachers, there are less missionaries, there are less evangelists than ever before because the power of the tongue is great and it can lead to destruction. The slander comes from hell, from the father of lies, the devil. We get into verse 7 and verse 8. And James puts it very simple to us. Animals can be tamed. I love to watch how some of these people have their dogs trained, and they can just say any word, and the dog will do whatever it wants. We were at the Ark exhibit, and we got to watch how they train their dogs, and he would tell the dog to sit, and it would sit, and he'd tell the dog to stand, and it would stand, and he'd tell the dog to walk with him, and the dog would walk right by his side, and then he'd tell the dog to attack somebody, and the dog would attack. It was really neat. We can tame animals, but look what the Word of God says in verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Do we realize how much harm we can cause with our tongue? How much destruction can take place? But verse 9 tells us, "We bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know, how easy is it? We come to church this morning, the Lord's Day. And the brother gets up and he says, open your hymnals. And we open our hymnals and we allow the blessing and the praise of God to come off of our tongues, don't we? We come in and we see someone that we haven't seen for a while and we say, I'm praying for you. Or I'm so glad to see you. I tell Brother Mike that all the time, I'm glad to see you. And he always says, better to be seen than viewed. And we say nice things most generally, don't we? We come in and we say words like amen, at least some of you. We might even use the occasional hallelujah or praise God. Or that's right, we want the tongue to praise God. Yet when we go away from this place and when we get into our vehicles and our children aren't acting the exact way that we want them to, and our wife does something that we didn't expect, what does come out of our mouth? Is it still blessing God? Is it still praising God? Is it still, when we turn on the radio, is it still the praises to God? Or is it praises to man? Is it praises to self? Is it destruction? Is it lying? Is it vile? You see, the Word of God says, at one moment we are praising God and we're excited and we want to bless His name. And we shout things like, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we get excited about those things. And then we leave and our conversation changes. The jokes that we would never tell in the house of God are told on Monday at work. The angry words and the destructive words in our families. Things that we would never say in front of anyone else. But our tongue is poison. James said, these things ought not so to be. We get to verse 11 and he wants us to have a complete grasp and understanding of the tongue. He says, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Now we know that that's not possible, is it? Out of a spring will not come salt water and sweet water, will it? The Word of God says, can the fig tree, my brethren, he's reminding them, he's saying, hey, I'm still talking to you. He says, can the fig tree bear olive berries? Of course not. Either a vine, figs. Figs grow on trees, don't they? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? What is James saying? He's saying, look, we can't live a double life. We can't be on that fence. We can't be hot and cold at the same time, because we know what happens when you mix hot and cold. We get lukewarm. And what does the Lord say that He would do with us if we are lukewarm? That He would spit us out. Yet today, many of God's children are using their tongue for the wrong things. Book of Proverbs chapter 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I love that verse. You see, we read scriptures like Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, to preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, to preach the gospel. Romans, announce the good news. The good things that the tongue could be used for. Life. We're talking about this subject in our men's Sunday school class. Being able to use our tongues to show men the way of life. We are to teach them. We are to disciple them. The good things of the tongue. One verse that comes to my mind, and I try to bring it to my mind. I tell you, I'm not perfect as a husband. One thing I remember is that soft answer turneth away wrath. Brother Griff had mentioned that in Sunday school, and I said, man, that's part of my sermon this morning. Learning to use that soft answer. Using our tongue for what brings life. Last week was an exciting week celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and it should be that exciting today. As a matter of fact, last week, that's what I preached about. I preached about it being exciting every week, not just once a year. That should be exciting for us. It should be so exciting that we want to use our tongue to tell others that Jesus saves. Yet, what is our tongue used for? I'd hate to say this, but more of us use our tongue more for eating than we do to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. We use our tongue more to destroy and to take people down than we do to show them the love of Jesus. I have a wristband that I wear, and on the inside it says, love God, love others. That's a daily reminder how I'm supposed to use my tongue. We saw in the Word of God that we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. When you look at a person and whatever, when you begin to speak, do you see the image of God in them? You see, if we started to look at people differently as those created in the image of God, wouldn't our tongue be used for something greater to show them life? Wouldn't it be something used to be, wouldn't it be great to be used for something greater like love? You see, our tongue, we've allowed this very tiny member to become a member of destruction. Yes, that destruction can even come to Faith Baptist Church if we do not begin to be the perfect men and women of God. So this morning, as you examine your life, as you examine your conversation, what is your tongue doing? How is your tongue being used? Are you allowing blessing and cursing to come out of your mouth at the same time? The tongue, it is small, but it can be very destructive. You know, I'll end with this. Pastor had mentioned that I'm trained in family counseling, and I'm not going to tell anyone else that I'm trained in family counseling because I get a lot of work. One of the biggest problems, I will say one of the absolute biggest problems besides not following after our Lord and Savior that marriages have to deal with is improper communication. The tongue can be a very wicked thing, and it can destroy lives. But remember, as the book of Proverbs says, it can also bring life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we speak the word of God, and someone hears, they may be saved. What is the condition of your tongue this morning? What needs to change in your conversation? Don't say, I can't do it. No, we can do it. The mature man and woman of God can control their tongue to bring life. What is the condition of your tongue this morning? Brother Bo, if you'd come and we'll sing a song.